Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Welcome, welcome back. You know, John, you know, when so often we only go about an inch deep.
Yeah.
And our history is basically, so you say, what's your history? And they go, well, you know, last week, we don't go further back than that. And, you know, the reason why you have Catholics and Protestants is because the Protestants were protesting that you can actually have a relationship with God outside of the organized church, mm-hmm. you know, which was a big deal, you know, with Tyndall and all Wycliffe. The ones getting Wycliffe, getting the word of God into people's hands. And so it broke away. The Protestant movement broke away from the Catholic Church, which means the Catholic Church was in existence before the Protestant movement was going on. They were the church. And then, and there is a remnant in church of the body of Christ in every aspect of society and in all the different organized religions and non-organized religions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in that, realize that the Catholic Church was carrying the church, was carrying the message, the gospel. And they went on this whole journey, you know, and they didn't just all of a sudden just pop up in Rome, you know, that. Mm-hmm. But there's a journey, and it connects to when you hear the president said, let's not forget about the
Inquisitions.
He's talking about the Christian church. He's talking about the Catholics and what was going on at that time. And what's interesting, too, is this ISIS, this Islamic State, and these radical jihadists, these Islamists, they actually are lining up with what he's saying because they're trying to deal with what happened during that time, the Inquisition, right. How they came in. And France was one of the key nations that dealt the death blow to the caliphate at that time. But luckily, Glenn Beck, a great historian, is going to explain a little bit. It's going to really help us out. Let's just take a look. He's going to do a good job of explaining why is this going on? What's in these guys' heads? That would be doing what they're doing, these mass murders and wanting to come to America, wanting to come to France, wanting to come to Great Britain and do this damage, or are we fixing to find out? Let's take a look.
I want to tie this all together here. When I learned about Sykes-Picot, I know I read about Sykes-Picot, you know, years ago when we were at Fox, and I put up on the chalkboard and I said, hey, this is what's going to happen to the Middle East. But it didn't all fall into place until I learned about ISIS and ISIL and the difference between ISIS and ISIL. Now it all makes sense to me. And now you'll be able to figure out what is really going on and whether we should get involved and who we should be involved with. Let me give you the full context of what motivates the radical elements in the Middle East. It helps explain ISIL with much more clarity. Back to the beginning. Sykes-Picot. What did Sykes-Picot do? Bring up the map, please. Here's the map. Sykes-Picot was something where they said, hey, what we're going to do, Arab world, you just fight with us on World War II or World War I. You just fight with us. And we're going to give you rule of the greater Syria. This is greater Syria. This is what they were promised. Remember, they were promised a united Arab rule. They wanted the caliphate back. They wanted the Ottoman Empire. So they said, hey, we'll give you all of this. Look at this map. But they lied. I put this book out at the beginning of summer, and it is probably the most important book you could have in your library now, because you need to know what we are facing. And it was a bold book. It is a bold book, and gives you all of the information that you hear on this show and way beyond that. And it's not my opinion. This we went and we talked to the Islamic scholars over in the Middle East themselves, the ones who give all the rulings on what Sharia law is and isn't, and we asked them, do we have this right? So this is their opinion, not my opinion. And it's important that we understand Islam And the difference between a Muslim and an Islamist. An Islamist is dangerous. And there's about 100 million Islamists. A little over a year ago, ISIS swept through the Middle East. The world looked on in disbelief and confusion as the leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, declared the renewed caliphate. Remember, that's something that everybody said, couldn't have a caliphate, that's crazy. They posted their triumph on social media. They drove a bulldozer over the Iraq-Syria border, and they declared it was the end of Sykes-Picot. Listen.
The flames of war then quickly and voraciously made their way to the colonialist political borders of Iraq and Syria. On the 12th of Sha'ban, the Islamic State was granted a landmark victory in the war against Kufr, with the flames of war burning the borders of Sykes-Picot.
The administration and the media went into panic mode. They officially decided not to use the word Islam for anything related to ISIS or terrorism. Last August, I released that book in an attempt to correct this dangerous distortion of the truth, because it is about Islam, and you have to understand that. There is no way to legitimately cover up what is staring us in the face and win. President Lincoln once said, "I'm a firm believer in the people. If you just give the people the truth, they can be depended upon to meet any national crisis." Everything ISIS is doing today can be explained. It is rooted in Islamic history and teaching. And quite honestly, you have to tip your hat to their history department. They know their history. They went back and they cherry-picked all of the glory days, using one of the most successful times in Islamic history for recruitment and propaganda. And they're replaying the past events and using Islamic teaching to continue what they never completed. And it's not some crazy faction. It's not some crazy death cult or fringe. Again, 100 million sympathize with these guys, 100 million people. They've eagerly been waiting for what ISIS has just given them. And by not understanding this, we will never defeat them. Let's start back with Muhammad. Muhammad personally saw to the conquest of Arabia, and he justified his campaign by claiming he was ordained by God himself. When Muhammad died, 632, some thought the Islamic movement was finished, but Muhammad's best friend assumed power, and he was just getting started. His name was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, where have I heard that name before? If it sounds familiar, it should. The very same name the current caliphate of ISIS, or caliph, has chosen for himself, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Why did he pick that name? Well, the goals of Abu Bakr in 632 are exactly the same goals as Abu Bakr in 2015, to expand the caliphate and prepare for end times. You don't have to believe any of this, but you have to understand they do. By the end of the ancient Abu Bakr's rule, the caliphate would be the largest empire in history. And it stretched from Saudi Arabia up into Iran, all the way here, up into Turkey, and across all northern Africa, eventually went up into Spain and took a piece of France as well. The parallels from Abu Bakr's caliphate then and Abu Bakr's caliphate today are nearly identical. They both started here in Syria. The main enemy for the Muslims back then was the Romans. Rome was actually centered here in Constantinople, and the Byzantine army was in control of Turkey and Syria. Now, this is really important history because it explains what you're seeing today. When you understand their thinking, it highlights how ridiculous the media narrative of impoverished nation and easy access to guns really is. It has nothing to do with that. Rome. It has everything to do with Rome. ISIS calls us, the West, all of the West, Rome. They call us Romans in their propaganda. They've even referred to Obama as the dog of Rome.
رسالتي إلى كلب الروم يا أوباما إن كنت تظن أن جنودك سيدخلون أرض الخلافة ويدنسونها فأنت في حلم فأفق من نومك وبادر بدفع الجزية وأنت صاغر قبل أن تصلك سيوف الخلافة وتحز رأسك العفن بإذن الله.
Okay. Why? Why the dog of Rome? Well, according to ISIS, Rome in the Arabic tongue of the Prophet refers to the Christians of Europe and their colonies in Sham, Syria. The Romans were the first major enemies of the caliphate, and it's the same today as it was then. The fight against Western influence, that's Rome, Western influence. That's the rallying cry to fight. And it's the same today as it was back then. And they use the Quran to make it a holy war ordained by God. We're not in a holy war, but believe me, they are. Back then, the Muslims achieved something no one has done since Charlemagne and the conception of the Holy Roman Empire. They defeated the Christians, and they kicked out all of the Western influence all the way up to here. It's the glory days of the caliphate. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He is using history as propaganda and his playbook to do exactly the same thing. That's why there's so many attacks. That's why I said, no, don't do this to Libya. Don't destabilize Libya. Don't do it, because where did they go? They went through Spain up into France. They went from Libya up into Italy and into France. They're squeezing us. You have to understand what motivates them. And a guy like al-Baghdadi has popped up before. Wait a minute. A guy just like al-Baghdadi, who said he was going to restore the caliphate. In fact, this guy actually said he was the 12th Imam. And he started making a great impact. How did they defeat him? Little history next.
So you think about this. Where is our president at this very moment? He's in Turkey. Where did they destabilize? First, it was Egypt. They actually encouraged the Muslim Brotherhood, who we made part of our homeland security in an advisory role, which we eliminated any reference to radical Islamization as an enemy of America. While they're saying, at least 100 million, based on those numbers, are saying that, you know, all the West is our enemy. Then you look at Libya, when you saw Libya down there, that's where we went and took the leader out, Gaddafi. You know, the Secretary of State at that time, Hillary Clinton, said, we came, we saw, he's dead. then she laughed. And it's like that whole thing was being set up to be able to, maybe they decided, you know, we need to give them what the world told them they were going to get to begin with. This is the problem with that. Israel's part of that. If they give all that Levant, all that land they're talking about, you'll see that after the break right here is explained a little bit more. You say, why don't you give them? You can't give away Israel. You can't give it away. Israel's in the heart of what they're talking about. If they're trying to undo Sykes-Picot with, you know, Islam, and they're wanting a caliphate, and they want the Levant, that Levant includes the territory of Israel. And you're hearing people all day long at this point, they've polarized, organized, and targeted Israel. Our own president's done that. And now he's meeting with
Erdogan.
President Erdogan of Turkey, who just tried to get himself changed their constitution so that he wouldn't be voted out of office. And he barely lost that, but then he had a re-election coming up again, so he still may get it. And it's like, are we about to have a king? Are we about to have, you know, is everything about to be changed as we know it? There's crazy things going on. But to understand in the heart of that, and we'll show more after this break, because we're going to go a little bit deeper in it, as Glenn explains a little bit more. He's a great historian. And to understand that, and that book is very good, by the way. You can get a lot of education on understanding Islam.
We'll make sure that's related for you on the Torch.
Yes. It was a very good book. So join us after the break. Understand in the middle of that, Sykes-Picot, if that whole piece of land was given to Islam and given to the caliphate, that would be giving Israel away. I mean, it's not going to happen. I mean, God's not going to give up Israel, which means that's just a man's idea. God has different plans in store. Join us after the break. Welcome back. This is so educational to be, you know, we're just asking everybody in the studio, you know, some of our interns and all about, you know, where's Paris? What country is it in? And we're just going to move beyond the answers that we got. But we have to look at this and understand this is what's happening. We got to connect to it. And we're going to find out as he begins to explain. Glenn's going to explain a little bit more about, you know, why France. we're going to find out that France dealt a death blow to that caliphate that was happening during that time. And there's a reason why they came. And when they say they're going to go from there to Great Britain to America, we just showed you just yesterday that they're going to be, they're saying they want to come to Washington, D.C. We have to pay attention to that. You have to believe them, people, when they tell you that, and respond before it actually happens is the best thing. But if somebody's saying, listen, we just need to give them, you know, give them what they said they were going to give them at World War One. What, give them Israel? Give them Jerusalem?
Yeah, no way.
I think they need to go back to the 1967 borders is what our president said.
Hmm.
And immediately that takes us back to the 1960s. As a matter of fact, 1967, 68, and that's what's being prophesied about, that we're going to go back into that mindset. But with today's understanding, make sure you join us in our next program because we're going to be talking about some prophetic words by Chuck Pierce about 2016 and where we are right in alignment with what's going on. Let's go back and begin to look. Now, why the caliphate? A caliphate, it's political. It's a political movement, and it is a religious movement combined. So you have capitalism, socialism, and you have Islamism. That's why they say Islamism versus somebody who's just part of Islam. And what he was saying is like about 100 million people who are Islamists. As a matter of fact, let's take a look.
Remember, ISIS keeps talking about fighting the armies of Rome. Back in the Crusades days, the caliphate was dominated, was dominating, and it was France that pushed the Moors out of Spain and put a stop to it. So what does that have to do with the armies of Rome? Here's where it gets interesting. Pope Clement V in the 13th century relocated the seat of the Catholic Church to Avignon, France. Most people don't remember. Believe me, the Muslims do. It was Pope Clement who gave the order to send the Crusades out to the Levant, as in the L in ISIL. So to them, they would be fighting the armies of Rome when they target France. Their symbolic target, I don't believe, will be the Eiffel Tower. I think they will go for something sacred, like the cathedral at Notre Dame, or maybe something in Avignon. I don't know. They'll hit what they can. After all, ISIS wants to conquer a small town in Dabiq just because they will they believe it will initiate the literal countdown to the apocalypse. These people are looking for religious symbolism. I can't thank you enough for watching this show, spreading the words, and being a subscriber. I will tell you, there is nobody giving you this information on television. It's just not happening. And I corrected myself on radio today because I was about to say, God, why don't we have a bigger platform? If we had a bigger platform, millions of Americans more could see us and we could really change things. And then I realized how self-centered that was. God's given us the platform He wants us to have. You're watching for a reason. You're a member for a reason. And I thank you for that. I ask that you would spread the word on the information that you're learning today, because nobody's saying this on regular TV. They're just not. All right, I want to go back to history. I want to flash forward a few hundred years. Muslim armies now have control of the Holy Land, and Christian influence is all but burned out. But a Christian champion was coming. Pope Urban II, he ordered the Crusades and liberated Jerusalem from Muslim occupation. And just like Charlemagne, the last great Christian champion, Pope Urban, he came from the same neighborhood, Avignon. The French dealt the Muslim army a defeat they hadn't felt in over 500 years. And this sting, this defeat, is still felt by radical Muslims today. They do not forget this. Believe me, they know this. The early battles between the West and the Islamic armies are being played out again present day. We don't think about these things. They live it. But Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi wasn't the first to try to channel this. I was reading a book a couple of years ago. Don't ask me why, but I have a series of books about each decade in the 1800s. Whew, I must have been really bored when I was reading about the 1880s, but I came across a guy in 1881. His name was Muhammad Ahmed. He followed exactly the same playbook. I couldn't believe it. As I was reading it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the same thing. He was frustrated by the Western influence, and he declared himself, this is what caught my eye, the Mahdi. Who's the Mahdi? important to Islam. Well, he set up military in the Sudan, and he won some skirmishes and some wars, and he got a little more bigger and bigger, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, he might be the Mahdi. And then he started to conquer up in Egypt. Oh my gosh, he is the Mahdi. Muslims believe that the Mahdi is the guy who's going to come in and usher in the end times, and that's what they believe now with ISIS today. Muhammad Ahmad, his forces were successful. And he had military victory after military victory, and that act alone convinced the Muslims all over that he was indeed who he said he was. And so his influence started to grow. Well, other Muslims knew this guy's not the Mahdi. Who is he? Well, they knew that if he was the Mahdi, this is Muslims fighting him, they knew that if the Mahdi was really the Mahdi, you couldn't kill him. So they decided, instead of fighting his armies, let's just go knife him in the middle of the night. If we can knife him and he dies, guess who's not the Mahdi? That's what happened, and everything fell apart. Why isn't anybody thinking about some of these things? Why aren't we talking about the history? Because this is all familiar. ISIS claims the exact same history. History is repeating itself again and again, and it is about Islam. It's about Islam, the faith, and the history. Islamism has been the driving force ever since the 600s. It hasn't changed. Al-Baghdadi's forces are still looking to fight the Romans, and it's interesting how things are currently playing out in the Middle East. Russia's arrival into Syria may play a much larger role for ISIS propaganda very, very soon. The Byzantine Empire was known as the Second Rome. Byzantine. It was the champion of Christendom. After the fall of the Byzantine, the Eastern Orthodox Church located itself up in Moscow. Ever since, the Russians have fancied themselves as the Third Rome. After the Byzantines fell, they view themselves as the inheritors of the Byzantines. Where were the Byzantines? Then they moved to Rome. Then to Crimea. Understand why he wants Crimea? Putin has said he wants Crimea because he wants the seat of the Third Rome. They want to be the champions of Christendom. He's saying that to his own people. What do you think's going to happen if they come down here to Syria? It's the same story repeating itself. Today, the Russian crest, the double-headed eagle, that's the Byzantine crest. So why is it significant? Because last year, jihadists all over the globe rejoiced as they took one small farming village named Dabiq. A Dabiq. I know a guy in Dabiq. Right there. After they took this, ISIS went as far as naming their propaganda magazine Dabiq after this. Now, what the heck is Dabiq? If you look at this, it has no military strategy or advantage at all. Literally, it's a few huts and some farmland. But for Islamists, Dabiq holds the key to the beginning of end times. The Islamic prophecy is the armies of Rome will enter Dabiq and set up their camp. Remember, who's Rome? Everybody. Everybody is Rome. So they set up camp. Somebody does. They come in across Turkey and into Dabiq, the armies of Islam will meet them there, and they're supposed to win a decisive battle, and Rome will be defeated, and the countdown to the apocalypse will have begun. To quote ISIS, these events lead up to something final, the greatest and bloodiest battle. This battle ends the era of the Roman Christians, and the Muslims will advance upon Constantinople and therefore Rome to conquer the two cities and raise the flag of the Caliph over them. Great. Islamism is the same today as it was for the original Abu Bakr back in the 600s. The name of the game is conquer. expand the caliphate, defeat Rome, and welcome the coming Armageddon. That's all this is about. It's not about joblessness, poverty, anything. It's not about guns. It is about Islam. And you cannot change history. You cannot deny the facts. If you do, you will be defeated. The question is, knowing the truth. Do you know it? Now you do. So now what do we do about it?
So you think about this. Gog and Magog has come into Syria working with King Assad right there where Dabiq is. That's where they're flying these jets out. Our president and the leader of the prime minister of Great Britain and president of France joined with Gog and Magog. And they're potentially seeing this thing totally set up. There has to be somebody who believes the lie that fights against the lamb. They're going to make war against the lamb. We're looking really close to potentially the coming of our Lord. I mean, this is that moment because somebody, the Quran, when you read the Quran, we have it on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com, comparing it right side by side with the Bible. But you look at Book of Revelation, that is the antithesis. You know, if the Book of Revelation and the Holy Bible says up, the Quran says down. So we say our Savior is coming from the sky. They say their Mahi is coming from the well, a hole in the hole in the ground. We say the beast is going to put a mark on you, and this is bad. They say that this Mahi is going to put a mark on you, and it's good. And they say that Jesus is going to come back, but they say he's going to repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he's going to serve the Mahi. And then he's going to try to get people to convert to Islam, and those that don't, he's going to behead. It's totally not the gospel. But look what's happening. Are you ready? The coming of our Lord, we need to be ready, not just for ourselves, but to begin to let everyone know that the coming of our Lord is near. Join us after the break. Welcome back. This is amazing, isn't it? I mean, you're looking at the unfolding. There has to be a counterpart. When you read the scriptures and you read what's taking place, there has to be somebody who's chose to be on the wrong side that makes war against the Lamb, makes war against the saints. Think about it. Makes war against the Jews, God's folks. And who's making war? I mean, you're looking at this bubbling up. And if you read the Book of Revelation, which is this is the only book that it declares that if you read it, you'll be blessed. I encourage you to begin to read it and ask God to reveal it to you. But you'll understand that, you know, times are going to be tough. You know, some difficult times are coming. And, you know, there's people that believe that the rapture is going to come and they're going to be taken away. And there's people that believe they're going to go halfway through a tribulation, then they're going to go. And there's people that think they're going to go all the way through it. But the Word of God says he does come at the last trumpet. And there's seven seals that's got to happen in the process. There's got to be seven trumpets. So that would be seven judgments with the seals and six trumpets. And all of a sudden there's a last trumpet. And then that's when the bowls of wrath are poured out. And so I would think, based on the persecution we're seeing right now happen in the earth, being beheaded, you know, being crucified, being just orchestrating against God and God's people over the whole earth. And we're going to be talking on our next program, make sure you join us, that this whole power shift is about the shift to China and Asia, and the West is going to decrease based on the things that we're hearing prophetically. And imagine what it's really going to be like if there's no strong America and its values that we had. I mean, this is times that truly test men's souls. I want to ask you right now, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Not if you're religious, but do you know him? You need to make that decision now. That's the most important thing, because this life is like a vapor, but eternity's forever. And if you make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you will, although this life will fade, you will go into this next life and you'll live forever. That's called eternal life with Jesus Christ, because he died for our sins. We shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. You can find out how we met the Lord, and you too can meet him as well. I want to pray for you right now. Be sure, please pray for us. Father God, we love you. We thank you so much, Lord, for just understanding and what's happening. We pray for healing for those that have lost loved ones in Paris, Father God, and that you would give wisdom to the leaders of the world, God, and break up this syndicate, this agreement against Israel, against your ways, God. Turn America around, I pray, Lord God. Awaken us from our slumber, Lord God. Awaken your church. Dear God, we just pray, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, that you would send a third great awakening. We appeal to heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Thanks for watching. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.